Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today is another Four Questions episode. Four questions are, very quickly, your favorite films of all time, a film you think is underrated, a film you think is overrated, and a lesser-known film that you think people should seek out. In this podcast, the four questions are going to be answered by Devin Brooke, who is the lead actor, as well as producer of the feature film Stay that won the Grand Jury Prize at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2017. In the room with Brooke while she's giving her answers, you've got her writer-director Chris Kramer and her co-producer and fellow actor Zach Kanner. This is the team that brought us that feature film Stay, one of my favorite films, so each of these people got to do their own four questions, and I'm not going to make you wait any longer to hear it.
I really struggled with three because I was thinking, like what did I watch, like, all the time? And, like, talking about that watchability thing, like, what do you turn on and then can't turn off? So definitely the first one is The Birdcage. I love that movie. I will watch it beginning to end every time. It's also something my parents let me watch with them when I was probably too young to watch it, but it's a childhood favorite, weirdly. Also going with, like, childhood, like, sentimental movies that I would watch with my parents all the time. Moonstruck is up there. And fifth, I'm gonna do four. So I'm gonna do.
You're going for it.
I'm going for it. I'm breaking the rules. Fifth Element is definitely an all-time favorite. Can watch it a million times. And then Edward Scissorhands spawned my love of Johnny Depp as a kid, and I feel like it was the first movie that I, like, was, like, not something that my parents had shown me and I got really into. It was, like, one that I discovered with a friend, and it was, like, my first favorite as an independent thinker, you know? And, Tim Burton.
And your collaborators are here.
Yeah.
You guys wanna chime in. By the way, I'll say that Fifth Element was the first DVD I ever owned.
Really?
We went as Fifth Element for Halloween. Like, I was Lilu for Halloween. Like, I've got got that.
And you were Chris Tucker?
I wish.
We talked about it.
We did.
We talked about it.
No, he was Zorb. He was Gary Oldman.
It was pretty spectacular.
Yeah. And actually, your lady was going to be our petite Bruce Willis until she joined you for Game of Thrones. But she was like, maybe I'll be your Bruce Willis. And she was going to be our tiny Bruce Willis.
That would have been fun.
That would have been great.
I won best villain at the at our Halloween party.
You did win best villain.
I mean, the Nerf gun you got was like a stunning.
We'll show a photo.
You can even send over the photo. All right, well, do you want to move on to question two, or
I don't know. Those are all good answers. They're also not the ones that I think debate's going to happen around the table. We're going to get into, like, the dirty question here pretty soon, and it's going to be like, all right.
The dirty question?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll do something.
Well, funny thing, and I, Moonstruck, the only thing I remember from that film, which I remember I saw it in theaters, and we did that thing at the Century City Mall where you, like, paid to see one movie, and then, like,
sneaked into it.
And then you walked into the next one, walked into Moonstruck. And I just remember Nick Cage saying, I lost my hand.
I lost my hand. It's just like them being the most Italian people ever. Yeah. There's a lot of, I think watching it, because I said it was a movie that I could kind of watch with my parents also didn't really censor what I watched. They let me watch kind of whatever they were watching. So I watched it with them as a kid, but then as I got older and we would rewatch it and rewatch it, it's like, man, there's a lot of really good, subtle, like, looks and one-liners. So, like, as an actor, like, man, there's a lot of cool, like, fun subtlety that they were just, like, playing with, but also, like, ridiculous lines, like, I lost my hand, and, like, you're a wolf, and, like, just really crazy, fun lines that my parents and I will still quote to each other, like, one... Like, it's, like, almost like our inside joke movie. Like, I feel like people don't know what we're talking about. Like, you've probably heard us quote it to each other, and you're like, oh, whatever. It suits something that Devin and her parents say to each other. But it's actually from that film.
So you're a big Moonstruck quoter.
Yeah, just, it's, like, a nice, like, they've got just cute lines.
You're the one.
Yeah, I'm the one. I also quote it, I feel like maybe it was just, like, Italian movie, like, where it was, like, Italian families, like, analyze this was another one that I quoted a lot as a kid that I actually got in trouble for, because he swears quite a lot. Robert De Niro swears.
So in spite of your last name, Brooke, you have Italian roots?
I do have a little bit. I'm a little bit of everything. I'm a bit of a hodgepodge, but Italian is in there as well, so.
Cool. I will. So number two is an underrated film.
Wait, what was my underrated film? Oh, shoot. I left my phone in the other room where we wrote down our answers.
You can go grab it.
I could go grab it. Oh, underrated for me, this is a guilty pleasure movie, is The Replacements with Keanu Reeves.
Damn straight.
Well, the football one.
The football one. I feel like it's...
Jon Favreau, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, when he was still trying to act.
Yeah, and, like, I'm gonna not say his name correctly. He was in Notting Hill and like he was the doctor in Reese Siphons. Yeah. Yeah, like he's in it. So there's like a lot of really great actors, and it's just really silly and fun. And I love Keanu Reeves. I think, you know, I enjoy his movies, and it's just a good football movie.
It's one of the best sports movies. Shane Falco.
Shane Falco, yes.
Such a good idea for Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman is
a good idea for a movie.
Yeah.
The players go on strike. Dude, I love the like weird houseboat he lives on too.
Yeah,
it's just such a stupid, bizarre detail.
Like all the like little like details in that movie are super great. And no love for this film, La La Land. I think it is incredibly overrated. I'm also I'm a dancer. I come from a dancer background and like grew up dancing and doing musicals. So I'm also like I try not to be nitpicky watching dancing in movies, but then but when you're pitching it as a musical and then they started with that great opening number and I'm like, okay, great. And then it just went really downhill dancing wise. And then you show me John Legend, but I'm like, then why is, cause like I like Ryan Gosling as much as the next person, but then you show me John Legend and he's not the jazz pianist singer in the movie. It really, like, that was the part where it broke me. I was like, all right, why is John Legend just not the lead, and what is happening? I'm so upset.
Like, now you're just fucking with us.
Well, and it was like trying so hard, and like everyone's like, oh, it's like Singing in the Rain, and I was like, no, you do not say that to me. And I was upset. I did not like that movie at all.
I'll switch my double down, so I'll do my rant here too. Okay. I was gonna double down that La La Land is my overrated movie as well. I do feel it's the most like masturbatory film to ever get like critical acclaim.
Yeah.
Critical acclaim.
I think that was the thing that upset me. It's not that people enjoyed the film. Like, enjoy whatever you want. Like, I'm not going to have the same taste as everybody. And people are like, it was just pretty and fun. I'm totally fine with that. It was that it was just like sweeping awards, and I'm like, why is this sweeping?
And it won Best Picture for like 90 seconds.
And then they let Warren Beatty have a second chance, which was really fun.
It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault.
It was,
Yeah, he knew something was wrong.
He felt the disturbance. Disturbance in the forest. But yeah,
I have a funny story about La La Land, which is I was totally on your page when I saw it. And then I went on a cruise last December, and La La Land was playing like practically on a loop, like on the TV in the room. So like, you know, we're the kind of people that watch a little TV before bed. And I fell in love with it. I saw the ending again, and it made me weep. Mm. And then I saw like halfway through, and I was like, wow, I guess the beginning. And then I saw the whole thing all at once, and I'm like, this movie's perfect.
So,
and I hated it at first.
I think too, my thing with the again, coming from like a, like, I'm not like a musical theater major or anything. I just, you know, as a dancer, I grew up doing them a lot. So I think the thing that bothered me about the movie is I actually thought, in terms of, like, story and acting-wise, like, I connected with a lot because I'm like, oh, my God, this was my life in L.A. at some point. Or, like, there were a lot of points that hit home and I connected with. But it felt like the music was being like, you were trying... It's like if you've ever watched a kneecap being replaced where they just hammer it in. Like, they're trying to force in the song and the dance, where I actually thought, in terms of, like, acting moments and, like, story moments, like, it was a good story and like had some beautiful stuff in it, but that I felt like they were just like, and then we're just gonna hammer in the song, and the only one that felt natural was the opening number, and then her closing audition number felt natural and seamless the way it should in a musical, because yeah, we're taking a time, you know, to stop and sing, which is completely breaking our reality, but normally it's a little more seamless, and like the rest of the movie I felt like they were just shoving it in, and so that was also my issue, because I did think, I was like, as a movie it wasn't like I hated everything they were saying. I was just like, I don't like the way you're executing any of this.
I just thought it was really boring until the ending. And I didn't like the ending the first time.
Yeah.
And now I appreciate the whole thing, and I've had to apologize to certain people. I went on my La La Land apology tour.
I'll never apologize for hating it in the moment.
Also, though, a big part of overrated and underrated is expectations, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's something that, you know, it's like, it's sweeping awards and it's going to be nominated for an Oscar. And then I got the screener and I was like, what?
Really? Because we did watch it after it had already started to get momentum.
Yeah, we got the hype time for sure, which is never a good time to watch.
Post-hype. So if you see it again someday, maybe you'll have my experience, maybe not.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll
maybe
include you in our apology
tour. Maybe it's not worth the time, because there's a lot of other things you can do with your time than watch a film you didn't like again. Unless you're trapped in a cruise ship cabin.
Yeah. Or we have a friend who, he, like, hate-watches things because he's got to figure out why they don't work. He's not even a filmmaker. He's an engineer. I just feel like he has to figure out why they don't. So he's like,
really?
I have to know what's wrong with this.
He hate-watches.
So he'll watch something that he hates and just try to figure it out.
Well, that was my story.
Oh, that was your story, yeah.
The movie I've seen most in theaters, Tristan and Isolde.
Really?
I went back and watched it every day for, like, a week and a half to try to figure out why it was a bad movie.
Did you?
Yeah, I felt that every character cries, like, openly, like, without trying to hold back tears.
Yeah.
And I think that's what ruined it for me, is that every character just lets it out, whereas, that releases the emotion for your audience. If you see somebody holding back tears, then you're on that journey with them.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you see the teardrop, it's an emotional release. So that film just was full of release and no buildup. I don't know how I want to phrase that.
So it's like a bad YouTube video of a teenager crying.
Yeah, that's what it came down to. And it had all of the pieces. Had a great cast. Had great, like, fight choreography. It was a beautiful movie, like, visually, but because the story never escalated, because characters were just opening up their purse, for lack of a better phrase. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's interesting, because I think you're right on the money. And I've always noticed what you said about tears, whether in scripts or in a film, when characters laugh at each other's jokes, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Watching people laugh isn't funny. Ha 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 ha, what you said is funny. That's the worst thing you can put in a film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be holding it. Yeah, you have to say only the audience gets to cry or laugh.
Yeah. And too, it's like the characters, I remember studying Shakespeare, and it's like, what's the difference between a comedy and a tragedy? And a comedy starts in chaos and ends in order, and a tragedy starts in order and ends in chaos. And then also the only difference is, like, the audience perception, because to the characters in a Shakespeare comedy, it's actually a tragedy happening, but the audience finds it funny. So it's like, you don't find it funny as the character or as the writer. It's actually the audience that finds it funny, because you're not laughing at yourself, like, when you think about it.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was your overrated. So number four, you get to do the lesser-known film people should seek out.
I don't know if this is lesser-known, but I feel like I feel like I'm the only one who's ever, like, seen or heard of this film when I talk to a lot of people. Long Kiss Goodnight with Geeta Davis and Samuel L. Jackson, that movie made me want to be, I was like, okay, that was, like, one of the earlier films I watched, and when I was like, that, I want to be her. I want to
really?
Be.
Yeah, because that's
this.
A Rennie Harlan
mm-hmm.
that Shane Black wrote.
Yeah, and it's, I love Shane. Like, as I grew older, like, Kiss Kiss Baby, like, I continue to love his stuff a ton. And it's just such a, like, before its time, early kick-ass female role and, like, action role, and she's, like, crazy and fabulous in it. And that was when I was like, okay, I think I want to be an action movie star, baby. And, like, watching that movie, and it's so good, and also so 90s. And Sam Jackson, I mean, it's wonderful.
And there you have it. Producer actress Devin Brooke answering the four questions. And if you want to hear what those people chiming in answered for their four questions, that'd be the Chris Kramer podcast and the Zach Kanner podcast, which are on either side of this one in order. The Sherman Oaks Film Festival is coming up in November. Film Invasion LA is every June. If you go to discoverindiefilm.com, you can learn everything you need to learn about those two festivals, this podcast, and more. Thanks for listening.